This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Donald Trump is making history in Miami. The former president's criminal arraignment just got started, where he's facing dozens of federal charges for allegedly mishandling classified documents. Trump has blasted this indictment as a political witch hunt, and his spokesperson, Alina Habba, agrees.
The people in charge of this country do not love America. They hate Donald Trump.
But CBS's Meg Oliver says people are gathering now in Miami to support him.
Several hundred Trump supporters have turned out. They're waving flags. They're chanting USA and go Trump. There are also protesters. I talked to one woman who traveled all the way in from New York City. There are people with signs saying lock him up.
So far, things are peaceful. President Biden met with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg today at the White House to discuss an upcoming summit in Lithuania.
The commitment of the United States to NATO, Article 5, is rock solid.
And he confirms Ukraine's making progress now in its counteroffensive against Russia. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is pledging federal support to get I-95 back up in Philly.
We're going to continue to be here every step of the way for as long as it takes, with both financial backing and any other technical support that's needed.
Crews plan to demolish the remaining piece of the highway later tonight, and once that's done, rebuilding can start, but it is expected to take months to finish. Denver Nuggets fans are celebrating the team's first ever NBA championship.
Man, I've been a fan for 20 years, man. This has been amazing.
We did it!
But celebrations turned violent last night in downtown Denver, where nearly a dozen people were shot during a drug deal. KCNC reporter Kennedy Cook is there.
10 people in total were shot, including the gunman, and the suspect was arrested. Denver police say it appears multiple shots were fired during an altercation involving several people.
They're all expected to survive. Maybe artificial intelligence isn't so bad.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. A year after AI enabled Paul McCartney to duet with his late bandmate John Lennon, it's now helped him complete a new Beatles song.
It was a demo that John had that we worked on, and we just finished it up. It'll be released this year.
McCartney says this will be the last Beatles single.
Jeep owners are back on notice. Here's reporter Jeff Gilbert.
Jeep is recalling 331,000 2022 and 23 Grand Cherokees and all of the larger Grand Cherokee Ls because the rear coil springs could detach, increasing the risk of a crash.
Last month, these same vehicles were recalled over a steering column issue. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A temporary agreement has been reached to allow roads crossing the Lac du Flambeau Reservation to remain open to residents living on non-tribal land. The town of Lac du Flambeau agreed to pay $22,000 to keep the roads open through July 12th. At issue are right-of-way easements that expired around a decade ago for access to several dozen homes. The tribe seeks $20 million for new easements. Multiple lawsuits are ongoing in federal court regarding the use of the roads. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office said a man died after being pinned under a tractor last Thursday. 76-year-old Edward Buchholz of Taylor was thrown from the tractor while he was attempting to load round bales of hay, and the tractor had a mechanical failure, according to a release. And the state baseball championships are set to continue later this evening. It'll be Division 4 semifinals tonight. Division 3, 2, and 1 will all play their semifinal games tomorrow after rain delayed the start of the semifinals this morning. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More than 7,000 truck accidents happen every year in Wisconsin. These accidents can be devastating, resulting in severe damage and trauma, often more severe than a regular car accident. Gingras Thompson and Wachs can help. They'll assist you not only with the driver of the semi, but also the trucking and insurance companies, making sure you receive the compensation you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta
cut you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke. Unless and until you know history, you're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and it is really being made. The Trump indictment, the Trump arraignment. Trump was booked. Trump had his arraignment. I'll explain all of that, what happened. Started at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central Time. Went into the courthouse, Miami, Southern District of Florida. He was fingerprinted. He was not photographed. He didn't have a mugshot taken of him. There've been plenty of pictures of him. They just substituted one of those. There are no cameras in courtrooms in federal court. There are cameras in courtrooms in Wisconsin state court, New York state court, a lot of state courts. It's up to state law. But federally, the Congress and the Supreme Court have not permitted them. You can't even bring a tape recorder. You can't even bring your phone and turn it on to tape a proceeding. The one exception to that, and it's not really an exception because, first of all, this is the Supreme Court oral arguments. The odds of you getting in are pretty slim. There are not a lot of seats, and it's sort of first come, first serve lottery type thing. But in the Supreme Court, what they do is they'll have a live stream, really, of the oral argument, but they don't even do that in district courts. So one of the questions is going to be, should there be cameras in this courtroom? Because Donald Trump will lie about what's going on. People will be left in doubt. And there are a lot of people in the legal community who think that there should be an exception for this case, and I'm one of them. What could happen is that the government could say, they could bring a motion saying, okay, we want special permission for this case. The judge, in my view, could grant it. It depends on what the defendant wanted. Trump is a media hound. He might want it too. It'd ultimately be up to the U.S. Supreme Court. They've issued a rule that you can't do it. So don't hold your breath at any time soon. Here are the issues that have happened today. By the way, the arraignment is simply a plea. You go and you say guilty or not guilty. Everybody goes not guilty. Trump went not guilty. And then he immediately leaves. There was no date set for the next hearing because the magistrate judge that handled it was not Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the really bad judge, who we'll talk about in a second. It was an assignment judge, a magistrate judge. What's a magistrate judge? It's a federal judge who is not an Article III judge. They have a 10-year term, and they can be terminated after 10 years. An Article III judge, referring to Article III in the Constitution, is a judge who has life tenure. That's a regular federal judge that you're familiar with. So this was basically a magistrate judge. Didn't get into the weeds on a lot of stuff. Didn't impose a lot of restrictions on Trump, any restrictions. In most cases, in Espionage Act cases, they probably wouldn't even let him out of the courtroom because they're afraid that they would go back to the Russians and the Chinese and squeal on a lot of our secrets. With Trump, he did do that by stealing these absolutely top secret documents and putting them in bathrooms and in closets so that the Chinese and the Russians could find them. Full of anger at the United States, full of vengeance, but they didn't put restrictions on him at this time. Now, what are some of the arguments that Trump's people are going to make? This is just the start of it. One of his former lawyers was interviewed, and I saw the interview, and said that they're going to argue at prosecutorial indiscretion, prosecutorial misconduct. What does that mean, and what are they going to say? Arguably, what can happen is if the prosecutors commit misconduct, they can toss the whole case, it can compromise the whole case. People always, criminals and felons always argue that. I've seen a lot of clients who have said, all right, when this case is over, I want to sue the prosecutor. I want to say that they're the ones that committed the bad stuff. It's virtually in every case false, and it's false in this case. One of the lawyers went into a little detail, and I'll tell you why it's false. It's going to center around the fact that the grand jury testimony, a fellow named Corcoran, Corcoran was identified in some of the initial indictments, or the initial indictment, as lawyer number one. Well, Corcoran was Trump's lawyer, and he was subpoenaed before the grand jury, and he tried to beat it. And the federal judges, the appellate judges in D.C. said, no way, you're going to testify. So he went in, and he was smart enough not to lie, because if you lie, then you can get into felony trouble yourself. And here's what he said in the grand jury. He said that Trump lied to him. Trump told him, why don't we just get rid of all these documents and there'll be no problem? Trump said, do we have to turn them over and cooperate? Trump said, take them back to your hotel room and pluck out the bad ones. And by pluck, he did what Michael Cohen, who was Trump's prior lawyer early on, who went to prison, said how Trump communicates. He doesn't say directly, kill the guy. He'll go, he'll point a pistol and wig his finger. Now, Trump didn't, that is an example. Trump didn't order anyone killed. He did order a number of people. He urged that they be beaten up and that he would pay the defense fees. But when he told Corcoran, pluck them out of the file and get rid of them, well, here's what he did. He said, well, these documents, why don't you? And then he took his fingers and with a plucking thing and then get rid of them. The question at the trial is going to be, and this is why Eileen Mercedes Cannon, the Colombian she-wolf who took a dive for Trump, was reprimanded by the Court of Appeals for saying, quote, because of his prior position, he deserves special deference, end quote, which was part of her culture. She's first generation, has no business, frankly, being a federal judge. The cultural toxins are not out of the groundwater. She is subservient to authority. She kneels before El Gordo, El Guapo, whoever she's used to kneeling in front of. She's bad news. The concern is, in what I had just set out, when the prosecution tries to introduce evidence of Corcoran's testimony or subpoena Corcoran and make him show up, she may say, no, that's attorney-client privilege. It would be prosecutorial misconduct to do that. These are things that the lawyer said to Trump, and Trump said to the lawyer, overlooking the fact that there's a thing called the crime fraud exception. If you are discussing committing a crime with your own lawyer and either suggesting he do it or he's suggesting you do it, that's not protected by attorney-client privilege. So the prosecutors would look at her and say, now, wait a minute. The Court of Appeals in D.C. said that this is admissible. And she is very likely to say, well, they don't control this circuit. If you don't like what I just did, and especially if it's before trial, appeal it to the 11th Circuit. And after about 3 months of briefing, we'll come back and talk about it. That's the concern I have. I also think that there should be cameras in the courtroom. In my legal practice over many years, I represented a number of media outlets, including TV outlets, to get cameras in the courtroom in the state of Wisconsin, because initially judges were opposed, even though there's a statute. We fought hard for a statute. Now it's pretty routine. Cameras in the courtroom can be abused. They were abused in the O.J. Simpson trial. O.J. Simpson murdered two people. An incompetent prosecutor said, well, why don't we try him somewhere where we look like we're transparent? So we try him in L.A. And, of course, they came back and acquitted him. But the cameras were a disaster. You remember, I think it was on Jay Leno at night, they'd have the dancing Itos. Remember that? The judge dancing around and trivialized the murder of two people. And this went on for 9 months. You don't want that, but this is a former president. And you're going to have a lot of disinformation, a lot of lying out there, especially by Republican congressmen. And it's essential, in my view, that what actually happens gets communicated. Now, there'll be no tape recording. There'll be no videos unless Supreme Court says it's okay, and I doubt that they will. The networks can bring in court reporters who will take full transcripts. And then that night they can show the transcript on the news, and that's great. But you and I know that a lot of people nowadays want to see the video, they want to hear the audio, and they don't have any interest at all in reading, even on a screen, the chyron of what happened. Chyron, C-H-Y-R-O-N, simply means the print on the screen, say what was said in court. Now, let's talk about some other things in this, and then after the break, we'll get back to it some more. The security of the documents at trial, how's that going to happen? Of the 31 documents that he's charged with under the Espionage Act, these are the absolutely utmost secret documents that we have. There will be Russian spies and Chinese spies and Iranian spies and jihadist spies watching these proceedings. They may actually get into them because by law, all sittings of federal courts are open to the public. Now, obviously, if you have 1,000 people want to get into a courtroom with 50 people, you have seats for media, and then maybe you have some public seats that are assigned by random, but they'll be reading this stuff. And if they read it on the screen or see it, aren't you disclosing this top secret stuff? The answer is the court appoints a security officer who works out a procedure to make sure that it is not publicly disclosed. Perhaps the jury can see it. And we're going to talk about this some more. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For today, partly sunny. We'll see a high near 82. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny, highs back to the upper 80s for Wednesday. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low around 58. Thursday, sunshine and 82. Slight chance of a shower Friday, 84. That's weather. I'm Corey Hartman.
Right now, it's 80.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go into the lines, take a call, finish the segment, then take other calls. Do not hang up. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind, Andy?
Well, I think, Matt, that you're right. I think that if they did publicize or televise it and yet keep control and not have it be a circus, that it would be good, because then everything would be out, you know, where everybody could see it as the trial goes along, and it would probably be good to ward off anybody that would try to misconstrue what actually happened, and it would be better. I see where Trump now is at a Cuban restaurant with all his fans down in Miami, and they're all hugging and taking, you know, group shots and everything else. It's already a circus already, you know. It's crazy, but. Anyway, I do agree with you on that they, if the federal government would agree or the courts, that would be probably good in this particular case, because it's a public interest. So,
yeah, thanks a lot, Andy. Yeah, and I'm going to say two things. One is, I do not know what Jack Smith was doing filing in Florida for a couple of reasons. One is, in that district, some people would say, well, Matt, there's 1 in 23 chance that he'd get her as a judge at random on the wheel. But the answer is that's not true. There are a lot of the judges down there on senior status, and they have other conflicts. And there were about 4, possibly 3. She had a 25 to 33% chance of being picked. And she took a dive for El Gordo. What is he doing? And then the second thing is, what kind of jury do you think you're going to get down there? You don't want a biased jury either way. You don't want a biased jury for Trump. You don't want a biased jury against Trump. If he'd done it in New Jersey, where he could have, because in Bedminster, Trump showed one of these docs, or if he'd done it in D.C., he could have, because that's where the docs were stolen, documents. And each side gets what are called peremptory strikes. They can get rid of jurors, and you get fair people. Down there, there's an intense political involvement in these issues and intense nationalistic feelings about Cuba, Venezuela, Colombia. And all Trump has to do is harass or harangue one juror to be a hung juror. An 11-1 verdict doesn't do it. It has to be 12-0. And then the prosecution have to decide whether to retry the case, because they can do it if there's a hung jury. But if we're bumping into the election, and God forbid he wins the election, the Department of Justice will dismiss this thing, because he'll put in another crook, because he himself is deeply crooked. Now, I'm going to say a few other things before we get back to the lines. One of them is motive. They have him dead to rights on that he took the documents, lied about it, lied to his lawyers when they met with the FBI, they lied to the FBI that he transferred documents up to New Jersey to void the subpoena. He did all of these things. He did all of these things. But one of the things that any jury wants to know is why he did it. And the law does not require the prosecution to prove that. They can say, here's the dead body. There's a picture of him shooting him. The bullet went into his head, and here it is. And there's no issue. So you get him for murder. But the jury's going to want to know, right, but why did he do it? Why did he do it? Here, the answer requires normal inference of motive. And here's what it is. Why would Trump, who doesn't read this stuff at the briefings, never reads this stuff at the briefings, bored by it, pluck out the most top secret documents our government has? And the word is that some of the documents they did not charge him on were so sensitive that the federal government couldn't even tolerate the risk of their being disclosed in the trial. There was a spike in the capture and execution of our undercover agents and spies in Russia and China right after Trump left office for the rest of 2021. When these documents were left exposed with no security in bathrooms, dressing rooms, and a shed storage closet near the pool. And everybody knew it, and he boasted about it. He does not have to say to the Chinese, there doesn't have to be a phone call that has him on tape telling the Chinese or the Russians it's there, or the Saudis. There is a doctrine in the law that says, let's say you hold up a store and you have a beard and you have a red jacket on, and the clerk remembers it. And then you flee, you shave off your beard, you put on a green jacket, you change your appearance. Some of the cartel, the drug murderers in Mexico have, believe it or not, plastic surgery to conceal their identity. That fact can be introduced as evidence that you did it, as evidence that you did it. A jury is permitted to draw a reasonable inference that the average person wouldn't immediately shave off his beard, change his clothes, especially get plastic surgery, if he hadn't done it. In this particular case, Trump didn't have to call the Chinese or the Russians. All Trump had to do is steal these documents, leave them unattended, and let everybody know that they were there. And Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudi Arabians. And Trump, we have no idea how much other money Trump got because he has no financial disclosure form after he left the presidency. That's the motive. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. You're on the lines. I see you. Do not hang up. Back to you right after the break.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Special Report. Former President Trump has officially entered a plea in a federal courtroom in Miami where he faced criminal charges today for allegedly mishandling classified documents. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more from Miami.
Through his attorney, Todd Blanche, former President Trump pleaded not guilty to these 37 federal charges. And Todd Blanch, in fact, said the former president is, quote, most certainly pleading not guilty.
He says Trump was mostly quiet through proceedings, which didn't take too long. Outside, Trump spokesperson Alina Habba slammed the indictment.
The decision to pursue charges against President Trump while turning a blind eye to others is emblematic of the corruption that we have here.
Again, former President Trump has pleaded not guilty to federal charges today. If convicted on those 37 counts, he faces up to two decades behind bars. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A temporary agreement has been reached to allow roads crossing the Lac du Flambeau Reservation to remain open to residents living on non-tribal land. The town of Lac du Flambeau agreed to pay $22,000 to keep the roads open through July 12th. At issue are right-of-way easements that expired around a decade ago for access to several dozen homes. The tribe seeks $20 million for new easements. Multiple lawsuits are ongoing in federal court regarding the use of the roads. The state high school baseball championships in Grand Chute were delayed this morning because of rain. Division 4 will now play this evening. Division 3 has been moved to tomorrow, when Division 3, 2, and 1 will all play their semifinal games. The championships will be held on Thursday. And the state girls soccer championship will begin on Thursday at Eline Soccer Park in Milwaukee. Ashland will face top-seeded Edgewood to kick things off. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Wachs has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll get to you. Do not hang up. I'll get to you in order. We're going to start with Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, thanks. Great show as always. I wanted to pick up on one of the points you had, kind of a roundabout way. There was an author, his name is Clinton O'Toole, and he was talking about the fact that some in the Republican Party have said about Trump, oh, he was just sloppy. He was just kind of indifferent to what he had. It was kind of a mess. And look at all this stuff. It was just sloppiness on his part. He didn't mean to do any problem or cause any problems. This guy shot back with this. And I think it's really important. You have talked about this, too, in great detail. And it cannot be emphasized enough. Trump is a person who knew the market value of what those boxes contained. Those boxes were not just stuff. They were a means to make money. Those secrets that are in there, those secrets, he kept them because he wanted to use those secrets to make money. There is no other reason. You're talking about a motive. What other reason do you have to drag boxes around like that? To ask your lawyer to lie about it. He knew what he had, and there was a market value to what was contained in those boxes. The saddest part is we do not know what the price tag is to the damage to the United States. We know that what people would pay for it. It's priceless, but we cannot begin to estimate how much this has cost us. Because in one sense, Matt, who's going to be honest to say that all these programs have been blown up by what he was willing to give away for dollars? You've touched on it before, and I don't think it can be hold on to them because they had value. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, excellent call. Let me respond to that before I get to everybody else on the line. Joe nailed it on that one, and it dovetails what I said about motive. They're going to be sitting around the jury thinking, well, why did he do this? Take a look at the volume, hundreds of these documents that he never even bothered to read when he was in the White House. He lied to his own lawyers. He had this Walton Outa, his valet or body man, move them. He personally had them flown up to New Jersey to get him away from the feds. He said to his lawyers, and Corcoran testified to this in the grand jury, why do we have to cooperate with him? Why don't we just pluck out the bad ones? Wait a minute. Why did he do this? Why did he go to those lengths? Here's what we do know. The FBI, the CIA sent station memos to all of their CIA stations around the country and around the world. It was reported in the New York Times several months ago that in 2021, there was an unusual spike in the capture and execution of our spies, of our undercover people in China and Russia in particular, but elsewhere. Why was that? It was because Trump left office on January 20, and he had this stuff lying around in bathrooms, in dressing rooms, in pool supply closets with no locks, and boasted to everybody that he had it. That word gets around. The CIA and the government believe that Russia, China, Iran, and our other enemies have seen these documents. Putin said he saw the documents. Some people said, well, Putin's saying that to yank our chain. And maybe in the past, but not now. This resulted in people being killed. When you commit treason and violate the Espionage Act and people get killed, that is not something where a lawyer or the Republicans should go, oh, well, he was sloppy. No, he wasn't sloppy. He knew exactly what he was doing. In my view, he was motivated by two things. First of all, money. He always wants money. He steals money and he wastes money. $2 billion to Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner gets 2% of that off the top every year. That's $40 million a year for doing nothing just because it's in his possession. And then he gets about 1.5% over the S&P 500 if he beats it. And if he doesn't, he still gets $40 million. $2 billion. We do not know what other investments, end quote, especially the Saudi Arabians, have made in various Trump properties since he left office. We do not know. The Saudi Arabians established diplomatic relations with Iran. They share information with Iran. The Saudi Arabians have an arrangement contracts with Russia. They share information with Russia, and the same with China. Because of Trump, our agents were executed. The second motivation that I see, Trump is, frankly, I thought he was a sociopath. I'm beginning to think he's a psychopath. There is a rage in him, a rage, R-A-G-E, for having been rejected. And it's almost sexual by metaphor. In other words, a beautiful woman, America, liberal democracy rejected him, and he will disfigure her. And that's what he did. And for the clowns that support him to show up at that courthouse and go, USA, USA, Trump is the guy that disfigured the USA. The motive has got to be clear. And I take a look at MSNBC and all the people interviewed. and they're all pussyfooting around. Well, he allegedly did this. We're not saying that he did it so that those guys should be executed. Well, yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're not saying he did it so that his family would get $2 billion that we know of. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. It's called an inference, a permissible legal inference. You very rarely get evidence where you have a videotape of the guy committing the crime. But in the analogy I used, when he shaves off his beard, changes his clothes, that's admissible in evidence as a reasonable inference beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it because he did the crime. When Trump is sloppy, quote, end quote, and leaves stuff lying around, unless the Chinese, the Iranians, the Russians, and the Saudis know, he had to know, I know, you know, that he did it so they get the documents. Why did he want them to get the documents? So he would get paid, and he didn't care if people got executed. All right, Tom McFarland, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Tom?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, and just to address Jack Smith's line of reasoning, I'm not as concerned about it being in Miami. Remember, he had to convene a grand jury in South Florida, and that grand jury came back with the indictments, and there's just as many possible Trump supporters that would have been in that grand jury as there would be in an actual jury pool. So I have a high level of confidence in Smith and his team that I think they're going to get a pretty good jury out there, but it also is going to undercut Trump and the GOP's argument that Trump could not get a fair trial if he was in D.C. or in other environments. So he's in about as friendly a territory as possible, and that's going to just undercut some of that rhetoric. But as far as it being televised, I really hope that it's not televised. That would be definitely playing into Trump's hand. It won't matter to his supporters or the GOP what is televised. Trump has already illustrated, and the GOP has followed suit, that they're going to spin the narrative any way they want to. And it's reminding me of, you know, the old Marx Brothers quote, who are you going to believe, me or your eyes? The GOP is going to make sure that all of their supporters are going to believe them, no matter what their eyes might tell them. And if you televise it, it's going to become a circus, because Trump is definitely going to make it a circus. Whereas, and I don't trust that judge, Cannon, I don't think she will rein in the circus. I think she's going to welcome the circus. So if it's not televised, it would force both sides to just kind of play by that rules and use the court of public opinion outside of the courtroom versus having it inside the courtroom. Thank you very much.
Tom, thanks for your call. And I want to respond on two things quick before the next caller. First of all, very interesting take on the televising. It had occurred to me that the guy lives and breathes in publicity. I comes down slightly on the other side only because they're all going to claim it was a star chamber and whatever. And the second one, though, let me tell you from the perspective of a guy who practiced law for a lot of years, there is no similarity between a grand jury and a petite jury, which is what you think of as a jury. None whatsoever. The adage about grand juries is a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. What does that mean? First of all, the defense gets no notice and no ability to participate and doesn't even get told when evidence is being shown to the grand jury. The only people in the room are the prosecutor. Secondly, the prosecutor can keep talking to the grand jury and put on nothing but incriminating evidence. That's all they hear. They don't hear the other side. Nothing. Third, he can say to them, and he's the only guy arguing. There's no judge there, by the way. None. The prosecutor is sort of looked at as a judge. And he'll say, you must issue an indictment. One of the things that I laugh about is everybody goes, it was the grand jury indicted him. Not Jack Smith. That's baloney. The grand jury does what Jack Smith tells him to do. And he did the right thing. However, trying to say that therefore a petite jury, it's called, which is what you call a jury, is going to be anywhere vaguely similar is not correct. Because that's out in the open. There's a judge there. There are strikes, peremptory strikes that the defense can put in. Take a look at the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, where he was acquitted after he killed two people because you had a bad judge. Thanks a lot for calling. Dick of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Dick?
Well, here's the flip side of that. He's going to go to a rally tonight. He already had to get stop at a restaurant somewhere. I'm sure that Jack Smith is sitting with his legal pad, watching every rally going forward, every speech going forward, because in my mind, this guy's a walking, talking gaffe machine for the prosecution. He'll likely say something tonight, Matt, that is totally wrong as to what happened in the courtroom today. You know what I'm saying? He's a habitual liar. We all know that. And I think he's going to step in it, and he's going to be the one that does it. So let him keep talking.
Okay. Well, let me just say, respond to that real quick. We'll take one more caller. That's all well and good, but the truth is his base believes it. And what I don't want to see, you have a judge where the fix is in, and you're going to have jurors, one or two of them. Somebody's going to had somebody who fought at the Bay of Pigs in the 1960s and not let on about it. It's the wrong venue in my judgment. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Well, first, remind everybody that the whole concept of the grand jury is kind of enshrined in the Constitution, that that you can't just arrest somebody that based on nothing. There has to be evidence presented, and that the bill of particulars, I guess, laying out, you know, what evidence you're going to be looking at. But in this particular case, that's to set some evidence aside because of national security concerns. And as Joe pointed out earlier, that the Trump did this.
Hold on, Mark. The bill of particulars doesn't go to the grand jury. The bill of particulars, if that's what they demand, will go to the defendant when he's entitled to get it. The grand jury, you're right, it's enshrined in the Constitution. And in merry old England, back in the old days, what had happened is you go to a grand jury and they'd all be people in the neighborhood, and they would listen to the evidence. They did listen to evidence. Mark, it was only incriminating evidence. And it should have been. Jack Smith did a great job. Only incriminating evidence to get them to charge. In my 40-year experience practicing law in Milwaukee, there was one grand jury that refused to return indictment. In other words, they wouldn't indict the ham sandwich. And that was because the defendant in the case was going to be a very prominent Milwaukee company, which is a very good company with a very good reputation. And the prosecution was kind of out over their skis on that one, trying to get them to do something they didn't want to do. That's very, very rare. Jack Smith did exactly right. He is great, but it ain't great that this is in South Florida. Listen, thanks a lot, as always, for calling. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once in a lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For today, partly sunny. We'll see a high near 82. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny, highs back to the upper 80s for Wednesday. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low around 58. Thursday, sunshine and 82. Slight chance of a shower Friday, 84. That's weather. I'm Corey Hartman.
Right now, it's 80.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Well, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Matt Finn Rick. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go right back to the lines. Take you in order. I can squeeze you all in this last segment, but... do not hang up. Gina Beauclair, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Gina?
Well, thank you so much for taking my call, Matt. Boy, what a show. I've been watching, you know, different channels and how they've been broadcasting and how that one of his lawyers got up there and saying how he was being persecuted, female. And I was really impressed that each of the stations that we're covering brought up why this was different, why Hillary was different, and that type of thing, which I was really impressed with because they need to start doing that. But this perception of fairness of the judge. Now, if the public was calling into the DOJ, because there is a comment line for people like us, and saying, I do not see this judge as fair, I don't. And if a lot of people called in, could that be a premise for the DOJ to say we want another judge because the people are calling in saying, hey, we don't see this woman that's fit to be on this case? I'm just wondering.
That's a good question. And the answer is the DOJ can't order it. What the DOJ could do is bring a motion and put it in the Court of Appeal to have her recuse herself against her will. And it goes up to the Court of Appeals and they would have two arguments. One is, judges, you reprimanded her. You reprimanded her before in this case involving Trump because she said, quote, he deserves special treatment because he is a former president. That's not the way we do things in the United States. So she can't presumptively be fair. And then number two, whether you think that she can be fair, the 11th Circuit has a peculiar rule that's different from a lot of other circuits where they go, if there's a perception of impropriety, a perception of conflict, a perception of lack of fairness, whether or not it's true or not, it's important that the public have confidence. Now, what would they do? I don't know what they would do. And I don't know that Jack Smith is going to do that. But I would encourage you to make those calls. And you don't have to attack her personally. You can just say, look, she was reprimanded by the Court of Appeals. She said that Trump gets special treatment. That's not the way we do it. Nixon didn't get special treatment. So Trump doesn't get special. Nobody gets special treatment. This is America. That's why we don't have a king. I would make those calls. Gene, thanks a lot for calling. Kurt of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Kurt?
Hi. I hate to do the sport analogy, but it's like a ref calling a bad call and you get the ball and you're ready to score a touchdown, but you instead intentionally lose the ball so the other team and their fans feel better about it and hope that you can get the ball back to score and win. I agree with you. I don't understand why he wouldn't use every advantage at his fingertips to ensure that this case gets tried in fair court, but in something that's going to ensure, the chaos we have now.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Jack Smith is highly ethical. He's highly experienced. He was a prosecutor at the World Court in the Netherlands. I mean, he's American, and he was an assistant U.S. attorney in Tennessee, and he got a conviction against the butchers in Kosovo for genocide. He got a conviction against the governor of Virginia for being a crook. The U.S. Supreme Court threw out that conviction, but Jack got it. Jack doesn't control the Supreme Court. He's a great guy, and he is using every advantage. He got a indictment against Donald Trump in this case, and he's doing a great job. Now, he knows more than I do, and he's a very, very experienced lawyer. I'm just saying that I would have been tempted to file this thing in Washington or New Jersey. Now, he might go, well, Matt, but venue could be attacked, not jurisdiction, but venue could be attacked, and we could tie it up for a while. That's why I didn't do it. Okay, because venue is clearly okay in Florida, because the guy committed a lot of crimes in Florida. That's where he looked at a lot of these documents, but he looked at some of them in New Jersey too. And I'm just getting to the point where he had a 1 in 3 or 4 chance of getting Eileen Mercedes Cannon. That was nuts. That was nuts. So thanks for calling, Kurt. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Another good show today, Matt. Great callers. I'm just going to add this. You had the Mueller report. You've been impeached twice. You had January 6th lied about the election. And now this is really selling out the country. How in the world does anybody, including follow this guy and a whole political party, the Republican Party? They're not, I don't get it. I don't know how you follow this guy, because this is the end. I mean, wasn't it the Rosenbergs that went down, for goodness sakes? But for the life of me, if you're a political party and you're still following this guy, you got some serious issues. So great show, and thanks for all your callers also. Bye.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for calling. Yeah, two quick things before we come to the end of the show. Number one, always remember when you're talking to people, we had undercover agents captured and executed because of this guy. He had this stuff which identified them, and they said, oh, well, their names weren't there. Of course their names weren't there. But the information that they had led back, what was in those documents led back to the only guy that could have provided it. It also has our satellite espionage information, believe it or not. We're going to have to change our entire satellite system because of this. Why did he do it? He did it for money. $2 billion. Why do you think Jared Kushner got $2 billion? You think he was a great investor? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What other money has Trump gotten? And Trump is full of vengeance, and he vengeance against an America, liberal democracy, a beautiful woman who turned him down. That's what's going on here. And you know, Paul said, what about the Republicans? Andy Biggs of Arizona goes, an eye for an eye. This is war. Higgins, who looks like, the guy looks like Ernst Stavro Blofeld out of the James Bond movie, one of these thugs, all in black with a bald head. And he goes, he put out some social media about calling for another insurrection with military terminology about capturing bridges. And now he's trying to walk it back. They're not just sticking up for Trump. They're advocating violence. Trump is advocating violence. The Republican Party has re-injected violence into our politics for the first time since 1861. That is the Republican Party. So if you're living out there and you're listening out there and you're a Republican, that's your business. And Republican voters are the same as Democratic voters, Americans, my fellow veterans, they happen to vote how they vote. But violence is something different. And if you are in a party where the leadership is not so subtly advocating violence, that is un-American. We're going to put a stop to that. And you should be the first ones that join us in putting a stop to it. Coming to the end of the show. Great show as always. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn, direct back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Great.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5.